Hi, and welcome to Film Forums. I'm Richard Williams, creator of this platform, a place dedicated to the filmmaking community. We interview members of the film industry to find out what it really takes to make a movie, bring a script to screen, or secure that acting role. If that sounds good to you, please subscribe to us on YouTube and follow us on your favourite podcasting platform so you can be the first to know when an episode drops. We'd really appreciate it if you'd like and share this episode if you get value from this content. Thank you.
Hi there, welcome to Film Forums. My name is Aisha Jbeli and I have a special guest with me today. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes, I'm Kyle Claus. Thank you for having me on.
Fantastic. And what area of the film industry are you in?
So mainly I am acting. My passion is acting. That's what I started with. That's my goals. But recently I've become somewhat... I have producing credits and recently have written a feature length, which I'm right now having some very high quality meetings. So I'm trying to put that together. So, you know, doing the production stuff as well.
Fantastic. Are you able to tell us anything about that project, or is it still, you know?
I'm able to tell you not much about it. I wrote it. It was something that, you know, it came out of a real life event, so to speak, that happened between me and a friend. And then we just started talking about that, you know, the story would make a great movie. And we kind of course, dramatized everything and made it Hollywood. But we ended up writing it. And it's funny because my writing partner is on the other side of the country. So I'm in New York. He's in L.A.
Wow.
And, you know, we wrote and got this thing done. And it was I think it was 130 pages at first, which is a first rough draft. We got it, cut it down significantly. I think it's about right around 90 or 100 pages now. And we have it out to some studios and some people that work with producers from studios, and they're very interested in it.
That's fantastic. So you went straight in with the script. So you didn't approach studios with a treatment or anything?
No, straight in with the script. I mean,
wow.
We actually had this, we had the treatment done afterwards. So I got in a couple. Yeah. So we kind of did it backwards. But, you know, I guess there's no right way of doing everything, you know?
No, absolutely. It's all about creativity. It's just interesting to hear different people's journeys because, you know, some people can go straight in with a script and other people have three or four hoops to jump through before they can get in front of people. So,
Yeah,
it's nice to hear. How did you create your pitch then for the studios? How did you guys come up with that? Did you create a pitch deck?
No. So, luckily I had a couple good relationships that and connections that had connections with the studios. So it was easier to get it in front of them and have them read the script, which then they came back to me and, you know, said, hey, look, for me to go in and back this, we need a one page or a, you know, treatment. And then there's all different types of one pages or treatments. So we ended up making a one page that was very simple and I love it. It was like just outlined the characters and it outlined the story in another page. And it was simple like that. You know, I looked at a bunch of other people's and it was so in depth. There was sometimes like, it would almost look like a comic book was written because it was like, you know, it was characters and it was almost too in depth. Like I felt like with ours, at least it was simple. And, you know, you want people to be able to read that. I guess everything's different. It's different to each project, right?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. One thing that I know that a lot of new filmmakers can find a little bit daunting is formatting scripts to industry standard. Was that something that you were already aware of and kind of did from the beginning? Or did you have to convert your script afterwards to make it industry standard?
No, I mean, I use Final Draft. It's very helpful. The first draft was definitely a lot of grammatical things wrong with it. And we kind of got some not so high level producers to read it, but who made us aware of that. And so that's when we went back and revised it. We've been through three revisions right now. And we really nail down just not only the story, but the grammatical, like cutting out all the fat of the story to make it great, but the grammatical errors too.
Yeah, and like copy editing. To be fair, creatives are not necessarily going to be like, you know, amazing at grammar. They're, you know, I mean, like, I think they're two different skills, definitely. You know, someone can be fantastic 100%. At grammar, but terrible at telling a story, and vice versa. So, you know.
Yeah, so you need a mix of both. I mean, it's like, you can't be so perfect. Yeah, it's like going back to that thing. There's not one size that fits all. It's kind of like what works for you, you know, to get that juices flowing. So it's interesting because I would say, here's something that I thought was interesting about our process. When I was writing it, I was the one who said, you know, get up every day. I actually felt like I didn't have any more time in the day to write. That was another thing we were doing. It was like, okay, now, you know, my day's so busy with acting, with side hustles and all that stuff. It's like writing is like another, like to get the time to write. So I was a big proponent of waking up earlier than, you know, an hour earlier than I usually do, and just writing, committing to 5 pages a day. And my writing partner, who was using his more creative brain, was like, that's not me. I need to be inspired. I need inspiration. And we had these arguments back and forth because I was like, well, that's great. But a lot of the times I found inspiration once I started getting the ball rolling. You know, like once I started getting it going, it would just be like maybe that first or two pages were hard, but then like things would just come to me and I'd just start.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with you on that. I think that it's great to be inspired, but also if you want to be a serious writer, you do have to set time aside and try to find that inspiration at
100%
in those moments. Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
So let's talk about your acting career. What is it that you've been doing? Anything that people might know or want to watch, be able to watch?
Yeah, well, I guess with Netflix now, a lot of things are just on there, you know, that you can replay. Recently, it's been past couple years since, like, I guess 2016 or so was my first line on primetime TV I ever did, was the show Billions. So it was the first season of Billions. And then, you know, once you get over that hurdle, then it's all just about growing and getting bigger to the next thing. So I guess last year was my most productive year. And it was right before, you know, I was unfortunately getting the ball rolling as this pandemic hit. But that was, I did a episode of The Last OG with Tracy Morgan. So it was a great episode on the second season of The Last OG. And The Last OG is a great, it's an underrated TV series, and it's on Netflix and you should check it out. It's quick episodes, but they're really funny. So I did The Last OG. And then the show called Happy, which is I think they canceled it now, but it was a two series. It was on Sci-Fi, and it was, I did a good episode on there. I think it was the first episode of season two. And then I had a recurring role on The Blacklist. It wasn't a huge role, but it would just span a couple episodes. So that was my last gig before this thing stopped. You know?
Before they told you weren't allowed outside anymore.
Yeah, before they shut it all down.
Yeah. So talking as an actor, you know, who made the move to New York, one of the major mm-hmm. acting cities in the world, how did you manage to support yourself? Obviously, you've been doing acting work, but you mentioned side hustles and things like that. I imagine it's quite expensive to be in New York full time.
It's quite expensive. So I got to say, I did luck out on that end of it. Not lucked out. I put in a lot of hard work, but I did it really smart. I was, you know, I knew when I was in college, I never even got into acting in high school or anything like that. And it's not until I left my hometown and went to college and got outside of my bubble and was like, wow, you know, I would always do this. I was always involved in like sports and girls in high school. That was basically it. You know, like that's all acting wasn't something you did from my hometown. You know, it was like a small town. So then I got to college and was like, wow, what do I really want to do? I've never thought acting was a reality, but then there you like broaden your horizons. And I guess I knew I was going to act right after I graduated college. And I kind of was thinking, I was kind of like figuring out what could I do? You know, like bartending and waitering tables is like the common thing that everybody does. And then I think my uncle was doing something where he sold a house. He was doing real estate and he sold a house on a Saturday. And just like my brain just put it together where it's like, wow, we don't have auditions on Saturdays. I could work. I don't mind working nights and weekends, but like real estate was just something that was like, I could see like a lot of my friends' parents were realtors and stuff like that. So I felt like that was a good reputable job to aspire to. And not only that, let's be honest, acting could take 10 years to get a career off the ground. It did for me. You know, it's like very, like you hear about those people that are driving to LA with the clothes in their trunk and their overnight sensations, but like how many people aren't that? So I didn't want to like bet on that. Mm-hmm. And I just got into real estate right after college. Like long story short, I just got into it. I was like, well, I can figure this out. I think I know this and everybody has to live somewhere. I think I can help people out renting. That's not a big deal. And then like selling and buying houses. And then it just grew mm-hmm. alongside of my acting career. So that's kind of how I ended up supporting myself and making a really good living coinciding with acting. Mm-hmm. You know, it was just something I loved, real estate. And then it ended up growing into like even more because it's such a great, great side hustle for actors. Because like real estate, you got to be presentable, personable anyway. And that's what actors are. You got to learn how to use that business side of your brain. Mm-hmm. It helps in everything, you know? And then you also got to be creative and figure out problem solve and ways to help people out. Yeah, it's just a good side hustle.
Obviously you are acting in New York. Have you done much in LA? And, you know, is that something that you're looking to do? Would you consider moving there?
You know, funny you say that. One of my best roles to date, and unfortunately a lot of, hopefully, oh man, it pains me talking about this. I had, I don't know if you know, Silicon Valley. There is a show called Silicon Valley and I got my first day guest star.
Okay.
One day guest star. And I, like we said, put myself on tape. I went to my acting coach in the city, put myself on tape, got hired for it, flew out there. It was the day after the last election. It was when President Trump beat out Hillary Clinton. So I remember just people being depressed. I don't know, people, actors being depressed and everybody kind of being down on set. And I was on Silicon Valley and I had this amazing couple scenes that I thought were hilarious and everything. I go back, I had a couple days in LA. It was fantastic. My first day driving to the scene, or set, I saw the Hollywood sign and it was just surreal. I was like, I'm a bi-coastal actor. And then about 2 months later, 3 months later, I get back to New York and I'm sitting in acting class and I get this email from the casting director saying that I'm sorry, but we had to rewrite the whole first episode of that season and all of it was just on the cutting room floor. And, you know, it was just like, they assured me it was nothing I did. And it was, you know, even the directors and producers were saying how hilarious it was and how funny it was. Unfortunately, they just had to rewrite this. They got to the end of the series or the scene, the season, and they had to go back and rewrite a couple things.
Whoa, that sucks. That must have been painful.
Yeah. Honestly, like until that point, that was like the coolest thing I've ever done. And I still haven't seen the footage on it.
Oh, that sucks.
But anyway, to answer your question, that's what I want to do. Yeah. Bi-coastal is key.
At some point. Yeah, definitely. That's great. So in terms of footage, one thing I know I had a challenge with, and maybe you can talk about it yourself, was getting footage for my showreel from different projects that I'd been on, for example. How long did it take you to get a showreel together that you were proud of and that represented who you are?
After maybe my third year in New York City. Yeah, probably my third year. I had a couple really good independent films. One was with the son of Twisted Sister. You know that song, "We're Not Gonna Take It." You know, that guy, they're the coolest family ever. His son is a director in LA right now. We still keep in contact. He did this amazing short. It was called All That Remains. That was probably my second year in New York. And after I got that, I had enough from independent films, plus that, plus a guy. I mean, they can do wonders if you have the right video editor. Just by scoring the footage and the showreel and everything, like, it was, honestly, it made me look so much better than what I actually, my actual career was like. It was like just putting in a couple really good scenes and then just scoring it and editing it together the right way. And, you know, the thing, I remember thinking about this as I was like an up and coming actor, was like, I needed so much stuff. I overthought everything. I needed, like, well, is it better to have a New York, most people won't even think about this now because we use cell phones, whatever. Is it better to have an area code from New York so people know I'm in New York? Is it, you overthink absolutely everything and it doesn't matter. Like, nothing matters. Like, the showreel, like, people aren't, honestly, people aren't going to watch more than a minute. If they watch a minute, you are so lucky, because that means they're interested. Usually they're going to watch 20 seconds. Like, they have so much to do and they're going to watch 20 seconds. And if you're right, you're right. And that's all. And then you can act. Okay, this guy's good. We'll bring him in. Like, yeah. That's it. So now it's more about, honestly, like, I haven't even done my showreel or edited a new one in about 5 years. Since the first Billions happened, because now it's all about just getting scenes.
Yeah.
Like, last OG, I played a cop, kind of a racist cop, but me and Tracy Morgan had a good 1 minute scene. Just get that clip, you know, get that one clip together and put that in there so that your agent can send it when it's something relatable to that. Mm-hmm. They don't even have to send the whole showreel anymore.
Yeah, I get that. Like, they choose clips that based on which part you're auditioning for. That I think is really good.
Correct.
You can immediately see your type from that clip.
Correct.
Rather than waiting to see all the different types that you can play and then, you know, then probably tuning out before that even happens. I know for myself anyway, with my showreel, when I first finally got some semblance of a showreel, I started to get a lot more auditions and a lot more parts in general, just because I had something to show. And before that, it was just a headshot, which, you know,
you can't get too much from that. You know, you hear your voice, you see how, like, you talk and everything, like, that's what wants to bring people in.
Yeah, but now it's like, once you've got some credits, you know, and you've got your IMDb, people start to have a bit more faith in the fact that you can act, and then they kind of just want to meet you and get to know you and see you'd play that role, you know. So
100%. That speaks for itself. Everything was a hurdle, you know. It's like, I did a couple of daytime soap operas. Mm-hmm. They were not the same as primetime TV. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, okay, cool, he does daytime soap operas. Yeah, that's fine. Primetime TV and cable TV was a hurdle. Once I had that one line, it was like, okay, cool, he can do it. He can be on a set, not piss anybody off. He can speak, and he's, you know, like, he can talk on camera and not, like, freak out. It's a lot of that goes into it. Like, they just want to know you can do that and trust you because their job's on the line. And then once you can present that and you're like, okay, cool, boom, I did this, this, and this on real TV shows, and I got paid as a professional actor, like, you know, everything was good. Then that kind of speaks for itself. It's a great place to get to. It took me a while. And you're always trying to go to the next level. Like, right now, I have to prove to people that I can really do that meaty guest star stuff. And then that series regular stuff. And then it's just always something.
Yeah. So how did you go about getting an agent to get you into these roles? Because I imagine they weren't, you know, open casting calls.
I've had the most love and hate relationship with agents you will ever. I've probably been through like 20 agents. It's just, it's not, okay. I guess it would be like, you know, unfortunately you just have to submit yourself to the agents. You just have to keep submitting, you know, like, it's like, I can't tell you even, cause it's going to be so different with one person to another, but it's like, if you feel something's wrong, trust your gut. Like, if you're with an agent and they don't act like they have time for you, or they're condescending, or like they're not getting you anything, it's like, why are you wasting your time? Don't ever feel like you need them, you know, like, don't ever feel like that. And here's more of a point. I got blacklist recurring without an agent, with nobody.
Wow. Okay.
And that was coming from, I was with an agent that did get me in the door for Happy and did get me in the door for The Last OG. Mm-hmm. Just came off doing those. Me and the agent had a falling out. We ended up parting ways very mutually. And I was like, cool, back to the drawing board. I can't recommend this to everybody. This is such a touchy thing. And I think this is where my sales technique comes in and has grown over the years. But I'll give you a little pointer. I'll give everybody, all the listeners, a little pointer of how I got my recurring role by myself. I got access to the breakdowns. Now everybody, you know, can do their own thing, whether you pay $25. It's like, they act like it's like you're going to go to jail for it. It's like, whatever. It's, you know, it's not legal. It's not illegal. I mean, it's just like frowned upon. Like, you're not supposed to get the breakdowns as an actor, but got the breakdowns illegally from someone, saw that I was right for this role. I don't know what it was. It was some lead FBI agent or something for like a recurring, but it was a couple, it was only a couple lines, but it was like a recurring role. I wasn't overshooting myself, right? So that's one thing that actors have to understand. You're not like going to go in for the same roles. I'm not going to go in for the same stuff as like Leonardo DiCaprio. That might be limiting myself, but you got to be realistic. Like I'm not in that level professionally. So knowing what your type is, knowing your level of what people can trust you doing. And I ended up having these casting directors' emails. And you can get those. I feel like these days, like the younger casting directors are more willing to do it. Maybe going to a casting workshop or something like that. A lot of people don't like doing those, or there's like that, you know, some people like think they're pay for play type things. But it's like, if I want to meet you, sure, whatever. I'll pay that. It's just for the fact of like, I'm not going to do it all the time, but I just wanted to meet you. I want you to meet me in person and read for you, and you'll remember me. Or, you know what I mean? And stuff like that. So getting their emails, and then literally just, this is another thing I think actors sometimes do, is we're a little long-winded. So instead of writing them a long-winded email, it was literally like this. Hey, so-and-so, I just noticed, or at this time, I am in between representation. So that shows them that like, okay, that's why he's reaching out. He doesn't have representation. At this time, I'm in between representation, which is why I'm reaching out personally. Mm-hmm. I just noticed that this role was casting and I thought I'd be perfect for it. I recently just did, and then the next line, I recently just did The Last OG and The Happy. Mm-hmm. And then I just attached my resume or something like that. And it was just that quick and simple. And they were like, great, can you come in tomorrow and read for it? And I did, and I booked it.
See, that's amazing. Do you have any final tips or tricks that you would like to share with actors that have maybe come from a similar background as yourself?
I'm really a big proponent of actors and artists not being starving artists, but being well-rounded. I know it's probably a bad word to say, but like being a rich artist, you know, or whatever. It's just like, just flip the script on that and get more power in your own, you know, hold more power, that it's not about these other people that are, you know, have the power. It's you, and you know, you can build a life the way you want it. You know, you can do exactly what you want, and you can break stereotypes and break boundaries. You don't have to be, I even had acting coaches tell me, you have to be a creative actor or a businessman. You can't be both. And that's BS. You have to be a good businessman or woman to have a good acting career in the long run. You know, I've known some of the most talented people that haven't even worked professionally, never got paid for acting, and they're in acting classes. So yeah. I guess that's my main thing that I would love people to take away is like, you know, work hard at your craft, be as good as you can possibly be, but just build a life around outside of acting as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for coming on. That's all we've got time for, obviously, but thank you for coming on to Film Forums, and definitely stay in touch. Let us know what you're up to. We can definitely continue to promote you. Okay.
All right. Thank you. It was great talking to you.
Thanks for listening. Please subscribe to us on YouTube and follow us on your favorite podcasting platform. visit film-forums.com for more.